124 days ago, Scott Ludlam was the first casualty of Section 44, a provision in Australia's constitution prohibiting dual citizens from being elected into parliament. Since then, the citizenship saga has dominated the headlines as one by one politicians have been exposed for holding a citizenship of another country and their seat in parliament has been put into question. The citizenship mess appears to be coming to an end with the government and opposition making a deal in the Senate. Leader of the lower house, Christopher Pyne, announced the deal and explained the details.
All senators will be asked to make a declaration to the Senate by December the 1st as to their citizenship status. And if there is a doubt or if they have a reason in the past, a parent, for example, with the citizenship of another country, then they have to clear that doubt up by showing how they went about relinquishing that citizenship or what the laws are that show that they aren't actually entitled to any dual citizenship.
A deal for a similar motion to be passed in the House of Representatives has fallen through as Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten butt heads over details. The stall in the lower house is clearly frustrating the government. Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop accuses Bill Shorten of protecting members of his party who have serious questions to answer about their citizenship.
Mr. Shorten has been utterly devious in this issue and has had to be dragged to accepting the coalition government's plan to resolve the citizenship issue.
Despite this, both Julie Bishop and Christopher Pyne say they are close in resolving the issue and putting the citizenship saga finally to bed. Roderick Chambers asked Dr. Peter Chen, senior lecturer in political sciences at the University of Sydney, whether the government has caved in to ALP demands on the issue.
We think briefly that we have a solution to the citizenship crisis because we've got an agreement between the government and the opposition. Now, this was nutted out by, I think, Matthias Cormann and Penny Wong, and it seems that the government's kind of caved into the Labor Party demands. Is that your view of it?
I think that looks like it. The government was in a position where this was going to drip feed continuously through to the rest of the year. And after a lot of posturing by both sides at the end of last week, including the Prime Minister coming out and saying that Bill Shorten was basically incompetent in the discussions that they had, the government has backed away from that.
He was very annoyed that he had his iPad out and he'd been there for, 2 hours or something with Bill Shorten, and Bill Shorten hadn't come up with a single proposal.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't realise that Bill Shorten was the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
But, it sounds like a really terrible meeting where you're in a meeting with someone and they're just constantly on their phone for 2 hours. the Prime Minister can do what he wants, I guess.
Anyway, there's four people that the government has named as people that might be of interest when it comes to citizenship, but two of them do appear to have had their nominations in a bit prior to getting confirmation of their dual citizenship being revoked.
Mm.
That seems a fairly clear cut, doesn't it?
It does seem fairly clear cut, and the High Court did take a relatively strong stand on it. I was wondering earlier in the year if the High Court would, through a bit of jiggery-pokery, create greater flexibility in the system, but they decided not to, and they said basically that is the date and you have to have your ducks in a row, and if you're serious about being a parliamentarian, then you've got to take steps. And I guess one of the interesting things is, for a long time, a certain class of people, and those usually been public servants, have had this extra bar that they basically had to give up their jobs before running. And that put a lot of pressure on them. And we've sort of seen some members of parliament say, if I didn't win, I just didn't want to lose my joint citizenship, et cetera, et cetera. It just sounds like you didn't think that parliament's really a job worth having.
And there's been problems with replacement senators, like Fiona Nash's replacement, the Liberal Holly Hughes, has some additional constitutional problems, doesn't she?
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, do we, because of the position under the Crown. Where it might be basically a public employee. So there's a lot of mess in this system, and it really is a variety of causes behind it, I think it's safe to say. So basically, you know, there is a range of kind of warehousing of people into public service, public sector jobs and the like that's been done by both sides of government, where they try and keep, you know, quality candidates in the fold by giving them these sort of public sector jobs. But if you have those when you're putting your forms in to run again, then you've got a position on the crown, and so you're invalidated from that. So that's one problem. The other problem is basically people just not filling out their paperwork and really thinking about their citizenship status. And then there's, you know, issues like we see with Fraser Anning and the One Nation Party in terms of relatively low commitment to the party they're actually running under. So the year ends with, I think, the general punter saying this is a complete schmozzle and the possibility of an election next year, which has its own wrinkles.
Because we've already got a by-election coming up for the seat of Bennelong.
Yes.
And that's slated, well, that's if the forms all get done today, for the 16th of December. Mm. So that's another by-election after the Barnaby Joyce by-election. How many by-elections would be a problem for the government, do you think?
Well, I mean, they've already lost their majority. If they lost a couple or more, they would be in serious problem. I think... clearly, the Prime Minister has been having conversations with the Governor-General about the integrity of his government. But I do wonder if the High Court, you know, would sort of indicate that the legitimacy of the last election has to be questioned, because so many people are in doubt that the only way to resolve those is to have an election. The problem is some of the people who are problematic are in the upper house, and you couldn't voluntarily have an election for the upper house early next year. It can only be a lower house election.
So there's no way that there could be a double dissolution?
They have a few triggers. They'd have to go and have a look about whether they can actually pull them. But the double dissolution is not supposed to be a solution to that type of problem, right?
No.
It's supposed to be a solution to issues about funding. This does come back to the lack of kind of foresight the framers had about the sort of constitutional conundrums you could get into. Certainly on a very practical level, I mean, anything can be a trigger, so they could have a trigger for a double dissolution. Though the government would certainly not be keen to do that, because it would be punishing for them, brutally punishing, really, based on the current polling.
Dr. Peter Chen, Senior Lecturer in Political Science at the University of Sydney, concluding that report by Roderick Chambers.